So hi again, everybody, and welcome to the Business Spotlight Series. My name is Coach Mark McNulty, President of Action Coach Bluegrass in Southern Indiana. Today I have Jen Hartman, who is CEO of Neat the Agency, as my guest. Welcome, Jen.
Hi, Mark. Thank you so much for having me. I am so excited to be here.
Awesome. We're excited to have you. So today, everybody, we're going to be talking to Jen about her business, her journey to ownership, challenges, best practices, and really share a peek into what it's really like to build and operate your own business. Now, if this is your first time listening in, be sure to like and subscribe so you get notifications every time a new conversation like this drops. So Jen, welcome. Thank you for being here today. So tell us a little bit about Neat the Agency.
Yeah. So Neat started in 2019. It was kind of my corporate America escape. I was working at a large tech company at the time, and I was ready to look for something different. I wanted something different, and I wasn't finding that dream job. So I figured, why don't I just create my dream job? How hard could it be to start a business? Well, anybody listening knows that it's very, very difficult to start and grow a business. And I was very naive at this point, but I felt like I had nothing to lose. So I went all in on Neat going into 2020, and then COVID happened a couple months later, of course. But COVID actually happened to be very good for my business because at the time I was working with a lot of early stage businesses. So there were people who were getting laid off from their jobs, starting a business, working with me, or people who just happened to have a lot of time on their hands sitting at home and they started a business. So COVID happened to be really good for my business and it kind of grew and grew from there. But we are best known for our PR efforts. So we do a lot of media pitching, getting our clients onto different podcasts to share their story. We do a lot with influencers and brand collaborations. We do quite a bit of social media marketing in there as well. We have worked with nearly 300 brands at this point, which is crazy. But yeah, it's been quite the journey. Our clients have been featured in publications like Forbes, CNN, Fox, The New York Times, Washington Post, and so many more. So it's been great. Right now, we're a team of 13 women, actually. We're a team of 13 women, and we're continuing to grow and scale, and we have some really exciting things coming up for 2024.
Oh, that's awesome. So, you know, for those of us who are new to things like PR versus marketing or advertising, Tell us a little bit about, you know, what's the difference and what is it, you know, what's your niche in particular?
Oh, great question. So a lot of people will loop PR and marketing together, and there is a lot of crossover. That's not necessarily wrong per se, but we look at PR activities as things that are kind of like, how is somebody discovering you? What is the public's perception of the brand? So PR is going to be really focused on things like media pitching. So getting your business into publications like Forbes or even the local news, having a segment on the morning news or being on the radio. It could be working with influencers and having an influencer create an Instagram post about your product. It could be a podcast interview. It could be speaking at events. So it's really like, how are we getting your business out there in front of new people and driving brand awareness and just getting people to understand what your business is about. So driving home that like brand messaging. And then on the other hand, there's advertising, there's marketing, and things that fall into that category are going to be your website. So people are learning about you through PR efforts. They're coming back to your website. They're learning more about you. Maybe they're even joining your email list. So that is considered marketing. We have paid advertising, so that falls into that category. There's some crossover, right? Because some people will actually look at social media as both marketing and PR, or even influencer marketing. That also is kind of in the middle somewhere as well, because it's on social media, but it's also kind of PR. So I like to look at PR and marketing and advertising as kind of like a Venn diagram, where like there are some clear separations, but then there is also some crossover in the middle as well.
Okay. Awesome. So tell us a little bit about, you know, your CEO. So you've got a team of 13. Tell us a little bit about your role and, you know, what your job at Neat is.
It has definitely evolved over the years. As any founder, you typically start as the chief everything officer and you kind of grow and expand from there. So in 2019, 2020, I was marketing, I was client success, I was finance. Don't know why I shouldn't have been finance. I was legal. I was kind of everything because I had to be everything. And then eventually I started to outsource bits and pieces of my role. The things that I really was not good at, I outsourced quicker than others. So for example, despite my MBA, I am not a numbers girl. I don't public math. If you ask me to do 1 + 1, I'm going to sit here and count on my fingers. So immediately I hired a bookkeeper and then CPA. As soon as I was able to afford that, I was like, immediate hire. That was great. And then from there, hired an attorney to work with because I don't know legal things. I know nothing. So that was kind of the second person, I added to the team. From there, I started to add on with sales. I knew that if we had a really great sales team, we could bring in a lot of revenue to the business. And then from there, we could hire on different strategists and account managers and coordinators and everyone to kind of fulfill the project. So that is kind of how the business grew. And then today we have a PR team, we have a marketing team, we have a sales team. So we're actually starting to split up into different departments. And my involvement in the business in the day-to-day has become less and less and less over time. And that's really how it should be. As a CEO, you don't want to be doing everything, right? Because when you're trying to do everything, you're truly good at nothing at the end of the day. So at this point in time, my role in the business is really taking a step back and focusing on the overall vision of the company and working directly with our COO to figure out what steps we're going to implement to get there. I'm doing some team management, but I am not involved in client projects anymore. I'm not taking sales calls anymore. I actually hired an assistant recently to help me manage my crazy inbox. So I've really turned into a great delegator and I would say project manager and team manager.
Awesome. Great. And yeah, when you start up, your janitor, your head, everything, right?
Everything. IT. Yeah. I was IT and I am like the world's worst millennial. I think everyone looks at millennials and they think, oh, they're the tech savvy generation. No, something on my computer doesn't work and I have like a breakdown. I have to like call help. I don't know what I'm doing. So I was doing all these things that truly just didn't make sense for me to be doing at that time.
Okay. So let's talk about, you know, the business overall. So who is your primary ideal customer? Is it product companies, service companies? What are the attributes of like, you know, your ideal clients and that you serve?
Yeah. That's a great question. So I would say industry-wise, we're pretty industry agnostic. We have served so many different types of clients. Everyone on our team has a different background. So with that, we're able to serve a lot of different clients, but we do look for key traits among each of our clients before they onboard. So for example, we really like our clients to have a brand strategy guide. They need to have an actual product and proof that that product works. Whether it's from just some testing, right? Maybe they're pre-launch, but we need proof that like the product does what it is supposed to do, because all PR does at the end of the day is it expands, it amplifies what is already working or not working. So if there is something not working in your business, all you're doing with PR is putting it in front of millions of people. So you have to make sure that things are working in the business from a product perspective, from a customer service perspective. We also look for people who, of course, have websites, right? Because with PR, we're driving traffic to somewhere. And typically, there needs to be a website that we're driving traffic to, of course. We also look for people who are comfortable talking about themselves, because it can be very uncomfortable interviewing and humble bragging on yourself and like hyping up your business. It's not always natural to brag on yourself, but when you do PR and you're getting interviews with top tier publications and top podcasts, you have to know how to tell your story and tell your story in a way that it's going to hit home with the intended receiver of that publication or that podcast. And that definitely takes some practice. So if you're not comfortable in front of a camera, you're not comfortable on a podcast, then PR is not a good fit for you. And those are conversations we have during sales calls. So we're not getting someone who's like, whoa, 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 like PR sounds great, but I don't want to interview. You know what I mean? Like if you're a founder, I would say start to really practice your 30-second pitch, practice talking about yourself, because that will come in handy when you do start doing PR. So it's not really about the size of the company. It's more about do you have these key things that like we can check off our list to make sure you are good to get millions of eyeballs in front of at the end of the day? But yes, we've worked with service-based businesses. Like for example, we have an emergency management client right now who has worked a lot with the government. She's worked with Walmart. She's worked with Disney. She does a lot with like disaster planning and any kind of cleanup after a disaster. So she's gotten tons of press. Anytime there's like a hurricane or the Hawaii fires, we were able to get her into Forbes and New York Times and all these massive publications because she was such a thought leader in her space and she could give all these expert opinions. So that has worked out really well. But we also have product-based businesses. Like we have a woman-owned ready-to-drink gin cocktail brand, and they've gotten tons and tons of opportunities with the press as well. So really all over the spectrum, we have early stage brands who are killing it, and we have multi-billion dollar brands who are doing well too.
Yeah. Her interview will be published next week. Love the gin cocktails.
Yeah. Oh, we do too. Anyone who has a really yummy product, we're like, yes, come over to Neat. By the way, we're going to need some free samples before you start your contract with us.
Yeah. So yeah, just interviewed her a couple weeks ago. So that's awesome. So what makes you unique in the PR space? Because there's lots of PR people in particular. That's an easy one to hang out your shingle and say, I are a PR consultant. So what makes you really stand out?
Yes, that's such a great question because there are plenty of agencies that say that they do PR, but the PR they do is they write a press release once or twice a month for their clients and send it out. Even if there's no news to share, they like try to create news to share and it doesn't work. Maybe it worked 10 years ago, but we live in a, we live in a different day and age now. So every client we work with gets a very tailored approach to PR, and PR might look like Instagram lives with other founders. That could be really unique, right? Or it could be collaborating with another brand and creating a unique product for both brands. It could be podcast interviews. It could be speaking at events. It could be media pitching, right? There's so many different avenues to go down. There's not a one-size-fits-all approach. And people typically laugh when I say this, but we very rarely ever send out press releases. Like I would say maybe once during a client engagement, if ever we're sending out a press release, because they just don't work anymore. Like unless you're doing something crazy, journalists don't care.
Yeah. No. And nobody reads them.
Nobody reads them. Yeah. And honestly, if that's what you want an agency to do, this is going to be a hot take, but if you want an agency to just write a press release and send it out, do not pay $10K a month to have an agency do that. Have an intern write a press release and send it out to select journalist contact information. Don't pay an agency to do it. You can do it in-house. Yeah.
So thanks for that tip. That the whole PR thing, you know, when I started 20 years ago, that was PR.
Yep. Yeah, but it's so different now. And there's so many avenues to attack, especially with the rise of TikTok and short form video content and the ability to go live with other people. There's so many ways to get in front of your ideal customers.
Yeah. So awesome. So marketing, you know, we talked about how PR fits into marketing. So how do you market your business?
Ooh, how do I market my own business?
Yeah.
That's a great question. We are really big on Instagram. So Check us out. Follow us, Neat_the_agency. We post a lot of great content. I would say Instagram, we do a lot more humorous types of content. We're funny. We keep things really lighthearted on Instagram. We show off a lot of our team members on Instagram as well. And that's been a big shift, I would say, in the last year, because I've taken a step back from the day-to-day. I never want someone who comes in and need to think, I get to work with Jen Hartman. Like that is the person I'm working with, because you're not working with me anymore. Though I help our strategists come up with a lot of great campaign ideas, I'm not the one who is leading that campaign idea at the end of the day. I'm here to approve, I'm here to support, but it's not me anymore. So for that reason, I've taken a step back from Instagram. Our team members have stepped forward and I really like the way things are going on Instagram. I also do quite a bit on LinkedIn. I call myself the LinkedIn queen. I am all over LinkedIn. I post a lot of thought leadership style content. we get more inbound leads from my LinkedIn specifically. I do a lot of engagement on LinkedIn, but LinkedIn is a gold mine. There are so many opportunities on that platform. So if you're a founder, I don't care what industry, what stage you're at, get on LinkedIn and start posting. The type of content that I really resonate with is if you are a founder and you're building in public, that content is so good. I don't, or failing in public, right? You might be failing in public. And I think that's so interesting and people will be drawn to you. But if you are a product-based business and you're looking to connect with investors, LinkedIn is going to be a great spot for you to be. So I'm all over LinkedIn. We also do quite a bit of email marketing. So you can go to our website, you can set up for our email list. And every Thursday we send out a really great newsletter, not selling anything, just you get founder insights from me. You'll learn more about some of our successful campaigns with our clients. You'll know what's on the podcast that week. And then we also have this really great lead magnet, and we give away all of our juicy secrets as an agency on how we've secured top tier coverage, secrets that other agencies would never share with you, but we do. So we market in a couple of different ways, but I think so far the most successful campaign, not campaign, but the most successful thing has been LinkedIn for us so far.
Awesome. Same here. So as you look back on your journey as a business owner, right, what are some memorable roadblocks or hurdles that you had to figure out how to overcome? And as a fellow business owner, I know there's been more than a couple, but you know, what are one or two just that really stick out?
Oh goodness. I feel like every day I'm facing hurdles. Every founder can resonate with that. It's like every day there's a new fire to try to put out. Professional firefighter here when it comes to business things. But I would say one of the most memorable challenges I've faced in the last couple of years was letting go of my first team member. It's something that I still think about on a weekly basis. I let go of my first team member a couple of years ago, and during that process, I learned that you should be slow to hire and very, very quick to fire. I drew out the firing process over like 3 months, which did not benefit me. It didn't benefit her. I should have just cut the cord way quicker. And I should have approached it from the perspective of, this is not a great fit for you and you're not thriving in this role. And here's what I think you should maybe do instead, because I just watched her struggle and I wasn't a great leader at the time. I should have been more helpful. I should have communicated a bit more. And I just kind of took a passive role in that process and thought, well, she'll figure it out eventually, or maybe she'll just quit on her own. And that is not how you want to run a business. And now I treat it very, very differently. If somebody is not a good fit, we have a conversation as soon as possible to either correct the mistakes that have been made or to make a decision to part ways. So I would say that is definitely one thing I've learned. Be slow to hire to make sure you're being really intentional. And then if things are not working out, be very quick to fire, because if someone is not a good fit, like, you will know in about 60 days of hiring somebody, 90 days of hiring someone, whether or not someone is a good fit for the business. And if you hold on to them, all you're doing is you're wasting resources and you're bringing down the rest of the team with that person.
Right. Yeah, it's a hard lesson. And anybody who's started a business and had to hire has learned that. So obviously you've learned how to change. So how would you describe your leadership style today?
Oh, that's a really good question. I would say I am empathetic, but I am also very blunt and to the point. And when I want something, I express what I want and what I expect it to be done. I am a lot more direct than I have in the past, but I do care deeply about every single one of our team members. I'm very empathetic and I love everybody on our team, truly, like, deeply. Everyone is really incredible, but I don't think that beating around the bush or the compliment sandwich is necessarily the way to manage people and get results. So I'm very direct. And it's funny because my COO is the opposite of me in terms of, like, she is very warm, very welcoming, very fuzzy. And so people joke on the team, they call me dad because I'm like, oh, rub some dirt in it. Get back up, get out there. You're doing great. And then our COO is like, no, sweetie, come here. Like, let me give you a hug. I love you. So I think we balance each other out really nicely in that way. And I would almost describe this is me being like self-aware and a little bit more harsh on myself, but I almost think that I'm a bit more abrasive as a leader than I would like to be. But I've also learned that being super nice and like fluffy in how I communicate and how I lead did not drive results.
Okay, awesome. All right, so last couple questions. These are just going to kind of be quick ones. You know, first answer off the top of your head to help us wrap up. So what is your key to success?
A good night of sleep.
Awesome. I love that answer. No one's ever given that answer, but that's really important.
I need my 8.5 hours. If I don't get 8.5 hours, I am a disaster.
So what's your number one piece of advice to your fellow business owners?
Just go after it. Whatever you want, go for it. I always think, what's the worst that could happen?
Awesome. So what's a book that you've read recently or listened to recently that you would recommend to other business owners?
Traction. I have been loving Traction. We're currently self-implementing EOS. So if you're a growing business, if you're approaching that $1 million and beyond point, EOS is it. So check out Traction.
Okay, awesome. So if I had a magic wand, and I don't, but if I did, and I could wave it over one part of your business to immediately improve it tomorrow, what part of your business would you want to improve immediately tomorrow?
Our margins. As an agency, we operate on pretty thin margins. It costs a lot of money to pay people well, keep the work in the United States, and just grow an agency, right? It's like when you bring on a new client, you have to bring on another team member, and that's kind of how it seems to work. So I would say margins. It would be lovely to have more money to play with at the end of the day.
Okay. So as far as people finding you, you said Instagram, it's neat_the_agency.
Correct. Yeah. Neat_the_agency on Instagram. And then LinkedIn is just Jen Hartman, Hartman with two N's, Jen with one N.
Right. And then your website as well. So if people wanted to get a hold of you and reach out and say, hey, you know, tell me more, best to go to the website and fill out the form.
Yeah, check out our website. It's neattheagency.com. And then we actually have a section where you can click contact and you can book a call with our team.
Okay, awesome. All right, last question. What inspires you the most today?
My team members. They are just incredible people, and seeing how much work and how much effort they give to the business and our clients is incredibly inspirational.
Awesome. I love that answer. So, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Jen Hartman, CEO of Neat the Agency. Jen, thank you so much for your time today. It's been really interesting to learn and to learn a bit more about, you know, kind of PR versus marketing and the challenges of just leaving corporate and starting your thing and some of the things you've learned over the years and build your team. So thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So, and listeners, thank you so much for listening in. This has been Coach Mark with Action Coach Bluegrass. Stay tuned and be on the lookout for our next interview. It'll be coming soon. And until then, have a great day. Thanks.